With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 278, the box office report for the week ending May 7th.
Good job.
Thank you. It was Guardians, so tune in next time.
That's it, right?
Yeah, what else?
Oh. You,
yeah.
Like, that's, I thought you said that was the episode. I'm like, no. Wait a minute, hold on, is that what we came here for?
No, I'm like, that's the box office report.
Oh. Yes.
Guardians, right. Took all your money.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at the numbers, but I feel pretty confident that's how it's going to shake
you
out.
You are, this isn't your first rodeo, huh?
Careful, don't spoil your own box office report. Let's go around the table, and those of us who are here can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Joe is stuck in floodwaters.
Yeah, he's got his high waters on and his yellow hat, like the fisherman from the fish sticks box. And
the Gordmans.
The Gordmans. Yeah, yeah. Gordmans fisherman.
That's
Gordmans,
how he, Gordmans. That's how he dresses.
Gordmans is the gross, is the
Gordons.
Gordmans.
Yeah. Is the, that's the store.
Store.
Gordon.
Gordons.
Yeah.
It is Gordons.
I thought it was with a D.
I think it's a D, but it's Gordons. Not an M. It's like Gordon. Gordon instead of Gordon.
The fish. We're talking about the fish.
Yeah. Yeah, the trust the Gordon fisherman.
Yeah.
I'm going
to
check.
Now we have to know.
Okay, well, you know.
Well, spoiler alert, the new fisherman is Joe, so that's it.
Yeah, it's just nice to see he's gainfully employed. So there's flooding in St. Louis, which where we're based out of. It's been raining like crazy. Well, it stopped as soon as I left town.
Right.
I went to a city where it was
Gorton's with a T.
With a T.
Way.
Okay. Oh. Sorry. My apologies.
Wow. Sorry, but you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Dan takes his fish sticks very seriously.
Does. Yeah.
But I am happy to see that you can buy a sou'wester hat. For $17.79.
Oh, see?
By Dutch Harbor Gear. So, Joe, we're watching out for you.
Yeah.
But it's, so it's been, it has been, it rained in St. Louis for like almost a week and a half straight or something. And so it's
there's just waiting for you to leave.
It rained and rained and rained until you left.
Yes. And then I left, it stopped raining, and where I went, it rained like crazy.
Yeah. And then we had some, I don't want to say man-made floods, but we certainly had some man-influenced flooding.
Man-exacerbated flooding.
Yes.
How about that?
Not quite.
Speaking you're of, like Lenny and Squiggy, Joe. I say exacerbated, and you're like, hello.
Hello.
You'd think. You'd think
you'd talk into the microphone.
By the way, you are now the official, the new Gorton's fisherman. Congratulations.
Oh, that means.
You'll understand when you go back and listen to the episode.
Good Lord. You ask your wife, you're like, hey, 141's open, right? Yeah, everything's open. Okay, cool.
Does she work for MoDOT?
I don't know. No.
Not anymore.
Yeah, she's fired now.
Yeah.
I'm pulling on 44. I'm like, oh, here we go. Like, I'm getting, like, close. And then I see the sign that says 141 is closed. And I was like, well, now what do I do?
And they're actually redoing that interchange right before all this started. So that wouldn't be an issue anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
I think the signs say 141 is closed. Ding dong.
I thought that everything had opened back up. Like, I drove past it. It doesn't look bad.
I think 44 reopened.
Yes, 44 reopened. 141, not so much.
Yeah. If you're interested about our
St. Louis
highways.
Yes. St. Louis highways.
Infrastructure.
Well, the best part, though, is that all the stagnant floodwaters mean Valley Park finally smells better.
True. Yeah, that's a good point.
The locals will get that.
Yeah, it does not, you know.
But yeah, so the floods were exacerbated because apparently Valley Park built their flood, their levee, like 3 feet higher than they were legally authorized to. And so it pushed all the flood water into Fenton and Eureka.
Yes, it did. Yes,
oh, my gosh. I mean, it has displaced a lot of people. I mean, you've got houses, cars. I mean, we're talking about millions of dollars overall of damage. So
Who would you sue in that?
City of Valley Park. And they would probably sue the contractor.
Possibly
and then,
no, I don't think you.
My guess is Valley Park
knew it.
I think Valley Park told them. I mean,
at some point,
this is all conjecture on my part.
Somebody's math was a little janky.
A little bit.
Yeah. At some point, somebody was.
I don't know how you overshoot by
janky
3 feet.
Is a legal term.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, well, 3 feet. 3 feet more.
It's not like Superman 3 where it's like, oh, we just take a penny off of every ATM transaction.
No, that's
it's,
office space.
No, that's right. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Superman 3.
I remember watching that movie in the theater.
Yes.
Which?
Office Space. Oh. Well, both. Yeah. I saw both in theaters, but I remember watching Office Space in the theater and be like, no, bullshit. That's Superman 3. Come on. And when they finally owned it, I was like, okay, that's fair. Though.
Yeah, fair.
What a,
yeah.
What a brilliant, what a brilliant movie that is.
That's Mike Judge, man.
I hope you mean Office Space.
Oh, yes. As you mean Superman 3, a Richard Pryor comedy starring Superman as the co-star.
From the director of A Hard Day's Night.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, he directed Superman 2. It was still Richard Lester.
I know, but...
But still.
Still.
Yes.
It's funny because like Mike Judge seems to have had a run of movies that have been... they've sort of aged better.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. You know, you've
yes,
had
they
that.
Have.
You had Idiocracy,
right.
Which, you know, also tanked, and then... Now
it's funny though, nobody yet seems to have circled back around to the other
the brewery one.
Where it was like kind of like Office Space, but
that is a good movie.
I thought it was funny.
It was, but
that's that's the Jason Bateman and Mila Kunis.
Yeah, it was like
Kristen Wiig. Yeah,
Office Space, but from the point of view of the management.
Yes.
Of like, oh, these workers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Something to do.
Yeah,
that's a good flick.
But he did. What did he? He created.
He's doing Silicon Valley.
So I mean, that's huge now.
What a great show that is.
Yeah, I watched the first season. I never got caught back up.
Oh,
I enjoyed it.
That last comedic beat
of the first season.
Yes,
was
of them trying to figure out the ratio.
Yes.
Oh,
that was good stuff.
Tip to tip.
Middle out.
Like that's middle out.
Yeah, that was good stuff. So shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. Joe. Have you been cheating?
I have nope. I'm gonna say we do. Yeah, I'm gonna say we do.
We do.
All right.
It's it's always interesting when the headline says was good but
oh crap.
Oh yes.
There we go.
My kind of people.
Yeah. This is from Firebaby_25. If you're tracking people down,
I mean, we just gotta be,
I enjoy listening to the long, thoughtful reviews with varied viewpoints. They respect what each other have to say and give full, detailed descriptions of every film they review. The problem is with the word respect. They respect each other, but the misogyny runs rampant.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. I love a good car movie with explosions and nonsense, and then have to hear jokes about women drivers. Do we make a woman driver joke?
I don't think we've ever made.
Or were
that.
We making a tongue in cheek woman driver?
I think we're making a tongue in cheek woman's right, but we always make.
It should women. Be. It should be noted that we do. Pretty much rail against everything.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, we do make
when we say things like that, they're jokes. We're not really misogynist.
Yeah. I don't really,
but
I may have to. I think reverse my stance on the way my wife drives.
There you go.
And now, getting me lost.
Here we go.
You just lost it.
Wow.
Trying to.
There you go. And the review actually is disappearing before our eyes.
Right.
But I am glad when listeners call us out.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
That's
but honestly, at least from my standpoint, most of that stuff's pretty tongue-in-cheek.
Yes.
In my defense, I just read a book about vaudeville, so there's a lot of that stuff floating around my head.
That's
Take
fair.
My wife, please. Just, if I'm going to do offensive old-timey jokes, like, that's pretty...
Yeah.
That's probably the one you want to pick.
That's probably true.
Let's just leave
yes.
it.
Yes. Yeah. That's the one I'm going to go after.
Yeah.
But anyway, to complete her review, in all fairness, she says, it turns me off. I listen because they are symptoms of the world at large and can't be held 100% accountable. Well, that's good.
Oh, thank you.
Well, then we will.
Hold us a little bit.
We will power ahead.
Yeah, we'll continue through.
But maybe the thoughtfulness they put in their reviews, they should put into their points of view. So, okay. Well, thanks. So, see if anybody's ever wondered if we only read the good ones,
How many stars was that?
She did 3 out of 5.
Okay.
So it's fair. Like, you know, yeah. She doesn't like one aspect, but she, that seems fair. Yeah, you know, fair. So anyway, so thanks for that, even if it was calling us out.
But I will say, it's not like Tom, after the podcast, goes up to his wife and says, make me a sandwich, woman. Like,
no, I mean, she has it waiting for him.
Yeah, it's already there. No.
See, that's...
Okay,
that's
well, never mind then. Continue.
He's told her twice already. Yeah. What more? Yeah.
And that is my tongue-in-cheek take
yes,
on that.
That is completely in jest.
Because I would... Because honestly, it's funny, in our house, the joke is how she makes more money than I do, and she has the real job. Yeah, right. Where it's like, yeah. I just book my silly rock bands.
I just do whatever.
I just book my silly rock bands. What you gonna do? Yeah. You know? And she's the MBA with project manager, working in healthcare.
My house is the same way.
Yeah, she does all the important stuff.
She's got the masters.
Yeah, so. Also, show sharers, don't forget, you can share the show with your friends. Unless you're Firebaby_25.
Yeah, you may not.
She's probably not sharing the show. But
listen to these a-holes.
Right. Get a load of these douchebags.
You know what? I'll even take that kind. Go ahead and share it and
we're
say
not,
that. That's
we're
fine.
Not proud.
No.
But if you would like to join the League of Show Sharers, all you have to do is go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers, and you can just click the share button, boop, and then your friends will see it. Does your Facebook make that noise?
It does if I don't turn the sound off.
We've talked about this before. He uses the Fisher-Price, the big buttons computer where he just presses the...
Do you have the remote?
You should see how he changes the channel, because sometimes it spins around to a donkey, and other times it spins around to a sheep.
Why is
not working?
He's only got 10 channels, but...
I'm just throwing stuff at the TV. Why won't it work?
It's just animal noises, too. It's weird.
I thought he was going to have that big old lady remote with, like... Have you ever seen those?
Yes.
They're like the size of a Whitman sampler.
I have one. My friend bought me one as a joke, so it used to be down in the theater room. I had this gigantic...
It's no longer a joke.
Well, I'm getting up there.
Yeah, when Kevin takes his glasses off, he's like, I don't know what these numbers are.
I bought one for my grandmother.
Yeah.
She was like 93.
I feel like you're entitled to have the old lady remote.
Yeah, no, that's when you're literally an old lady.
Literally an old lady.
Then yes. Yeah. I think when you're 93, that's just called a remote.
That's true.
is how that works. So, but also don't forget, you can join our League of Show Sharers by clicking share, but you can also, in addition to our Facebook page, we have a Facebook group now.
We do.
And if you just type in League of Show Sharers, it should catch up with you by about the league part.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go there. You can join. And it's a little bit easier to converse with other Real Spoilers listeners because the way Facebook works, they're ball bearings and wing nuts and all that.
Widgets.
Come on, guys. Yeah. It's all ball bearings. They that stuff pops up in your feed a little bit easier, and you post on our wall, and it just kind of buried over in this other thing. So in a group, it doesn't work like that. So anyway, people that were kind enough to join the League of Show or to share the show this week: Librarian Cynthia, Andrew Ortman, Jason Michael, Griffin Fox Smith, Nick Scott, Chris Sanders, Brent Smith, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Travis Tewitt, Tammy Sherman Powers, Julianne Jordan, and somebody who we will get into in the next episode, but probably had a very exciting week.
Timmy Tuzoons.
Timmy Tuzoons.
Yeah, he had a great week.
So he probably had a good time seeing Guardians of the Galaxy.
Did he have points?
Yeah. What's that?
Did he have points?
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding, right? He should.
Yeah.
He should after this.
So
we will say...
Vindication is sweet.
We will say no more than that in case you are listening to the box office report because you have not seen Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So that's it. Zip it.
Zip it.
Zip it.
Dep.
300.
Dep. That's enough. That's enough. Did you lose a channel?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. I begin to panic because I feel like I've just gone deaf. In one ear, I'm like, damn it.
It's happened.
All good.
I was just giving a break so we could...
Oh, sorry.
You could cut. He could have a clean cut so he doesn't have to include us talking about our headphones not working. That's riveting.
Yeah.
That's riveting
radio.
Well, we haven't made it misogynistic, so maybe we should leave it in.
Just keep talking about the equipment.
Yeah. Nope. Oh, see, Crystal's been using this podcast equipment, hasn't she?
I just meant this.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, these headphones aren't working. They must be for the ladies since they don't listen anyway. Is that better?
There we go.
That was good.
Thank you.
See, now for our new our listener, I have to like verbally shake my head. When I shake my head, I just shake it silently, but I'll shake it like I'm shaking my head.
Maybe what we should do is get you like a little maraca. And when you're shaking your head, you can shake the maraca, and then people will
know. That's how they know. Dan disapproves.
At least someone in the room is acknowledging that was inappropriate.
Would it be quicker just to add a maraca track to the entire podcast?
Yeah, we can use it like a music bed, like the way Bob and Tom uses laughter.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, well played.
Yes.
Well played.
Yes. So,
are they still on the radio?
Yeah, just not here.
Okay.
Yeah. So we will turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin?
I do, Tom. And with these big budget blockbuster movies, you know that I like to play a little game of how much did it make? So
I thought you like to play a game of alliteration.
Yeah, well, that's true. I also like that. But let's go around the table and see if anyone can guess. Domestic, Tom?
I'm going to guess that I already looked because So... I didn't know you were.
You had looked
between. I said I'm looking at your screen right now.
I can see it from here.
Yeah, okay. You have it. You have it up on your screen.
It is in my John line of sight.
I remember he used to watch your laptop and
I
like see all these cat videos on Facebook. Yeah. Well, never mind.
That's why Tom was sitting on the side.
Sorry,
of me.
I already looked because I'm sorry. I don't recall the Otter System ever being part of the interview process.
Damn you all. Well, anyway,
all I can say is don't ever leave us alone with a take a penny, leave a penny.
That's true. Yeah, there will be no taking pennies.
There will only be the taking.
There
will be no leaving of the pennies.
Well, then, surprise, surprise. Number one, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 with $145 million.
And what is that?
Domestically.
What did the first one do? Is that better than the first one?
I think so. I think the first one didn't do about 90.
I will tell you exactly what the first one made, Tom, Joe, and Dan.
Because
Dan, I figure you want to know. I'm also going to tell him. Opening weekend, the first Guardians made $94 million.
It's a big jump.
So to go to 140 is huge, obviously. Yeah. And with the first one being such a surprise hit, I mean, that was one that had the word of mouth. People didn't know, and then everyone loved it.
It also had the benefit of... It was at the end of the summer. It was an August release, so it had no competition. So that movie just
kept making money.
It was still making $20, $30 million in week 4 and 5,
yeah.
Which I don't think will have quite the same luxury.
I don't know, because it's going to go up against some big stuff.
Sure.
I think it's got, what, King Arthur?
Yeah.
It's going to take some away from it.
You got an Aliens movie.
And then Wonder Woman.
So this is the second week.
I think that Aliens movie is probably going to be the one that... That it could be a surprise threat.
If that
depending
on
how that, well,
yeah.
If that thing is not made, good, that's bad. I think that's bad news.
I don't know. Prometheus apparently, according to our listeners, has been very polarizing.
Was okay.
I enjoyed.
I liked it,
but I felt like they were. It was like going. There was a lot of building more than I think we planned for when.
Like you mean like world building?
Yes.
It'll be interesting to see because I saw a review headline today, I think from Variety, that was like Aliens Covenant is like the best Alien sequel until it becomes a Prometheus sequel. That'll be interesting to see how that.
I mean, but then again, Prometheus is so polarizing, and I like Prometheus.
It depends on where they stand on.
If you like Prometheus, then that's not necessarily a bad thing. But Guardians of the Galaxy 2 did bring in that $145 million domestic. It's already been out for a week in some territories overseas. So in its second week of foreign release, it's up to $282 million. So the worldwide total is approaching $430 million already on a $200 million budget. So this is going to be another juggernaut.
Oh, plus I think they have an action figure, so that should do okay.
I think they have at least 5.
Yeah.
And those Happy Meals.
Oh man.
I had this conversation. They don't do tie-ins like that anymore, do they?
Disney does no longer works with the fast food chains. No.
Is there a reason?
Because they think fast food is going to become the new big tobacco.
Yes.
And they decided to just get out in front of it, and they quashed it all.
Okay.
Disney has a lot. I mean, there's a lot of Disney-branded food, and it usually...
It's healthy.
It's pretty healthy.
Yeah.
We were just talking... Like,
they
we were
don't
talking,
stamp their logo on.
There was like a... I don't know. Taco Bell had like a 1989 Batman... Yeah. Like plastic cups, and then McDonald's had like the glass. Mm-hmm. But like movie tie-ins were always a big thing.
Oh,
obviously,
of course.
The McDonald's toys when...
Man, the 90s,
Batman,
that was...
Batman blows up a guy. But, yeah, I don't...
Well, they gave you pants bombs?
They gave you pants bombs, yes.
Oh, that was...
I don't know how to bring it to you, but Taco Bell's been giving you pants bombs for a long time.
That's what they're known for.
Yeah.
That's the go-to.
When it's a run for the border? Yeah. It's because that's where the toilet is.
Yeah. It's actually... Originally, it was runs for the border.
Yeah, it was like a runs for the border.
Yeah. Yes.
But, yeah, you don't see McDonald's or Taco Bell or... You don't really see kids meals.
McDonald's still has. I mean, because you know, all goes.
I guess they have Smurfs right now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They just did Smurfs, and they're doing some car type thing right now. I don't know, but they still do it. But
McDonald's will do it. It's Disney though.
Right.
But Disney will do Subway.
Hmm. Yes.
Oh, let's go with. Never mind.
Yeah,
The one who's. I'm just saying. Whose spokesperson was?
Well, that's not there. I mean, once that happens, yeah, not like.
Yeah, I mean, they had him off all their stuff instantly.
Almost immediately.
And to quote the New York Post, enjoy a foot long in jail.
Right.
Yeah. 9 inches, just for you, buddy.
It's a weird foot long.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
It's a metric foot long.
Yeah. Oh, is that right? Oh.
I'm just glad he didn't make a mayonnaise joke.
No!
What? I didn't have to.
No!
Rock bed. So Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 already, you know, getting up to the almost $450 million in 2 weeks.
Is James Gunn becoming like one of the big three at Marvel? Like, because he's exec producing Avengers.
There's Russo Brothers.
Is it well,
Russo
Brothers?
Well, because Guardians are in Avengers, so he's going
but
he has some oversight.
I guess that's true. But so is Peyton Reed an executive producer? So, I mean, Joe Johnson an executive producer?
Joe Johnson doesn't do anything anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he's still responsible for the first Captain America.
Well, it doesn't matter, but James Gunn is direct. His people, he's there, like, supervising because Guardians are in it.
Sure.
So he has a hands-on.
Favreau's an exec, right?
Yeah, I believe he has been for a while.
He's grandfathered in on everything.
Because he created
it.
Because Russo's are in, though. But,
no.
But Russo's are directing it. It's only people in, like, involved.
Yeah,
I think it's people who are actively developing stories.
Okay.
James Gunn is, I mean, he's developing these stories. He's developing, and we'll talk about it in our next one.
Right.
He's been developing a certain character since the first one.
Mm. Right.
We'll get into that.
And they talk about it. And he's come around and even said in the collector's.
I have a point to make about that.
Okay. Well, he's been developing, you know, storylines. So I think that qualifies him.
Well, we'll save that for later. That's Guardians. Number two, The Fate of the Furious. So that one is in its fourth week in release. It made another $8.5 million. That's a 57% drop. So we've been seeing some pretty steady drops from Fate of the Furious. It was definitely front-loaded. It is up to $207 million domestic on a $250 million budget. But we go over to the foreign side, $951 million
crazy pants.
Almost $1 billion foreign alone.
What is the draw? Like, what is it about this franchise?
I think the action translates to any country is the thing.
Yeah,
I guess that's true. Yeah.
Is there any area they're not? I mean, are we going to have somebody, some, you know, Inuit person in the next one?
Yeah, I mean, there's that. It's the most racially diverse.
That's true. That's true.
And there's practically a silent film.
Yeah,
I mean, they're, you know,
pretty much.
That's the thing. It's about cars and explosions and submarines and missiles, right? But just to give you a little idea of where that $950 million is coming from, China, $373 million from China alone.
And that's just, I mean, that's just population.
Well, and that's interesting because, I mean, the Chinese market is so hard to maneuver. I mean, just getting a release in China.
Right. Yeah.
So whatever they're doing,
it works.
They figured out how to get into the Chinese market without any pushback.
Offending anybody, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they're really the only huge heavy hitter, but they're in a ton of countries. I mean, it's everywhere, but, you know, you've got countries like Brazil with 30-some-odd million. Just scrolling down the list here, France, 24, Germany, 28. So a lot of $20 to $30 million adds up quick, and you know, you're at $1 billion.
Next thing you know, you're talking real money.
Yeah. I see the tribe from Gods Must Be Crazy made about 20 in there.
They did, yeah.
I mean, the translation is the bitch, though.
Right. Yeah, the clicks. Yeah, that's not
that is good. That's, you know, that's interesting, like, how that works. I mean, obviously, when you're translating into a a spoken language without clicks, mm-hmm. that's pretty easy. But
well, I don't think they actually translate the movie into clicks. I don't think they have movie theaters.
They tried, but it just, didn't click.
It didn't click.
Well, no, for them, they said they're that release is just a poster.
Yeah,
and they just send a poster.
They're happy with
they
that.
They marvel at it.
So
everything has a Coke product placement. Yeah.
So I mean, so think.
Does anybody listening to this podcast right now even know the movie we're talking about?
Yeah,
the Godless, no, I know you guys do. Oh, I just feel like it's a fairly obscure. It is. 80s like art house comedy.
There's two, right?
Yeah, the second one was awful, but the first one was really good.
It was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of those ones that sat on the shelf or just, I remember walking through like a video, like, what was it called?
Blockbuster?
No. It was called Blockbuster.
No, it was not. Back then it was Movies to Go. Movies to Go. And it was just like, what is this? What is this weird looking movie in the comedy section?
Yeah. Yeah. So think about this. So The Fate of the Furious has a $250 million budget. In 4 weeks, it makes $1.15 billion. So is there, I mean, they could throw double the budget at it and make it just insane.
But I wouldn't, why would you do that?
Why would you? It doesn't think they'd need to.
It's about making money. So if you can throw them $300 million and your return is a billion.
Will you start?
Will they start trying to keep make it crazier? And will the returns?
I think you can make it. I think you can make it crazier at $300 million.
Space.
Yeah.
It's got to be space, right?
I think when you see the budget drift up, I don't think it will be for effects. I don't think it needs to be. Like, nobody walked out of this movie. Say, I know we're not at the movie yet, but this is high level stuff,
right?
Like, nobody walked out of this movie saying, "Oh, if only it had more money, it would look better. It looked great." But I think when you see that budget drift up, it's going to be because
The Rock.
It's going to be people wanting more money.
Well, because they see, this movie made $1.15 billion with me in it. So that means The Rock. That means Russell's going to come back. That means,
Once whatever number of pictures they have these individuals signed to starts to time out.
I think you're going to start trimming the fat.
Yeah.
So, like, you don't need Ludacris. You don't need Tyrese.
Yeah, but
you don't need.
But
you just named two people.
That's a demographic.
A demo.
But you could.
Yeah, but you have The Rock. Like, The Rock.
That's not the same.
It's not the same.
I disagree.
Samoan?
It's not the same.
No.
He's not just Samoan, though.
Like, it doesn't matter. But yeah, now it's not.
And that's why it's not the same.
Yeah.
But, right on.
But I also think that, one, if you really wanted to go that route, you could replace them with someone else that fills that role.
Cheaper.
But brings in a younger end of that demo.
Arsenio Hall.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Arsenio Hall.
The other way.
The kids love Arsenio
the other way.
I don't think kids today know who Arsenio Hall is.
But on the flip side, I don't think if you're trying to fix the budget of the film, I don't think Therese is where your problem is.
I think we need to get Baldy out of there.
Why would you get rid of The Rock?
The other one.
The other one.
Oh, Groot.
Baldy 1.0.
Baldy 1.0.
You know, he's my favorite part of the entire franchise. Why would I even suggest
Vin
that?
Vin Diesel's the entire part of that franchise for you?
Which franchise are we talking about?
I'm kidding, Kevin.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, I'm all spun around.
Yeah. I don't know either. What are we talking
still, I
yeah,
don't,
he is. He would be the
I don't
one
think,
that...
I don't think those guys are pulling down the lion's share of that salary.
Yeah. Probably not.
I'm sure they're doing okay for themselves. Yeah. Don't cry for them, Argentina. but I don't think that it... That's not where you cut.
No,
you don't
cut,
need
you
to.
You cut that one, and that's it.
I honestly, if you're looking at these numbers, I don't think they're going to cut at all.
They won't.
No,
he's, not. I mean, he's,
if they want to stop, though,
he's in
they're
for,
more than welcome to.
Yes.
You haven't seen any of them, so what do you care?
Well, that's the thing, though. You know, it takes a lot of work to not see these.
It takes a lot of work to go to San Diego when this movie comes out.
The thing is, though, that I guess the point is that if this goes to $300 million, I mean, okay, this has $250 million budget in 4 weeks, $1.15 billion. If it goes to $300 or $350, there's still making $1 billion. I mean, it doesn't really matter.
I think
they have to up it a little bit.
If they hit that point, then they're going to start doing some sort of either long, shooting for an extended cut version, or shooting two at a time.
That will really take.
If they
it
hit down, their budget hits that point, I think they'll start doing and 10 will be at the same.
That's
time.
What they were going to do with Avengers, right? Like, it was going to be.
Well, they
Avengers
still are.
They are.
I don't think so.
It's just like, the stories are not.
Yeah, they're
right,
still filming
okay,
them together.
Yeah, right. But it's not Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2. It's going to be two separate movies.
Definitely not.
I think if the budget hits that point, they'll be driving nothing but Hyundai Sonatas.
just Kias.
Just Ford cars.
Oh, yeah, it's got Arsenio Hall and a Ford Probe. I mean, it's like, we can shoot this thing now.
Outside.
We're just blue sky in here.
Yeah,
we're
just blue sky.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
Number three, The Boss Baby, still with some impressive numbers here. I mean, that's week six, and it's made $6.1 million, a 34% drop, and it's up to $156 million domestic and another almost $300 million foreign. So it is up to around $435 million in week six.
Is there
worldwide.
Any kids movie on the horizon?
There's Despicable Me 3. Okay. Which I don't know why they didn't call it Despicable 3, but probably the same people that it's from the same company.
It's
the same company that decided not to call it Fate of the Furious F8. Like that's, but
yeah.
There's that.
I can't think of any. There's no Disney
Cars
or,
3.
Cars new, 3. I was like, there's a Pixar
but
movie.
But there's a new. Yeah, but isn't there another Pixar movie coming out?
Coco.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we got this summer.
That's more.
That's November.
Isn't it? Oh, well, that's plenty. That's not going to affect this.
No, but yeah. Yeah,
I think Pixar is kind of figuring out that they need to do their more experimental, newer stuff around November, and their sort of like
sequel,
their core,
yeah,
their anchors, yeah, around summertime.
Yeah. Well, I thought we got two this year because we didn't get one last year, right? Well, is that what's happening?
Dory, right?
Dory.
We got Dory last year, and we.
Oh,
was the
I thought there was
there was a Disney animation one.
I thought they
there?
Missed a year, and that's why we were getting two.
Yeah,
that could
I don't
be.
Know. But I agree, though. I mean, I think that they're realizing, too, that's why they need their Dory sequel, and then yeah. they need their experimental, yeah. and they need
that's
their
why,
Cars right. sequel, and then Incredibles eventually sequel for the next
Toy
time.
Toy Story 4.
Toy Story 4 they came back for, so they know where the moneymakers are. And
poor Bug's Life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No kidding.
And that's a good movie.
That's a good movie.
Bug's Life.
Yeah, it's a good
movie. Isn't it? Just like something else too. What's the
yeah.
story? Bug's Life is
the Three Amigos.
it parody. It's something else though. It's like
seven,
a Lion
it's
King.
Seven Samurai.
It's Seven
yeah,
Samurai.
Yeah, yeah. It's Magnificent Seven. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's okay. yeah.
Gotcha. That's yeah. what I was
just
thinking.
With the guy from News Radio, Dave Foley.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's it. Yeah, that is one, and it's one that like even the music, like Randy Newman. He was the go to guy for a lot of that early Pixar
yeah.
stuff. But Bug's Life was the one where he got to sort of do his thing, which was more epic and grand. Because people would think, oh, Randy Newman, he's so boop, 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 boop. And then, you know, he would do the natural, and you're like, oh, my God, that music is
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah. yeah.
And that was Bug's Life was it gave him the opportunity to do an orchestral score.
I didn't realize that Hans Zimmer did the score for The Lion King.
Yep.
That's cool. That's
got
to be one of his early.
He's got a weird career.
That's
got
to be one of his early things, though, because I didn't realize that. Because I mean, I was a kid when that came out.
He's a pick and choose kind of guy.
Yeah, but that's kind of.
And
cool.
he chose not to do
the next
Batman v Superman.
Yeah.
No, he did it. He's not.
That's
he's,
his last
this
one.
Is his last one.
Superman.
Oh, okay.
Right?
He's not. No. No, he did. He did Batman v Superman with Junkie XL.
But that's his last
that's
superhero
it.
Movie.
Because of the,
yes,
he felt odd doing another.
Yeah,
a different. Batman.
Different Batman.
Yes. Yeah. So now he's done, and it's against the other guy now.
So coming in at number four, Joe's favorite movie of 2017, How to Be a Latin Lover.
That was my favorite movie. That was so good.
Did you learn?
No,
did
I didn't watch it.
How's your Latin loving yeah. going?
It's not bad.
Okay. I thought that was
would you say it's would you say it's caliente?
Muy. Caliente.
Oh, awesome.
Did you see it?
Dan
was like, it looked good.
When I saw the trailer, I was like, I go, that one's going to like slide through, and I thought it looked pretty funny.
To me, it did look like one of those ones that like misses the mark in theaters, but finds a second life at...
But it
didn't.
I think it's doing better than... I mean, I think if we looked at the budget, I think it's probably doing pretty well.
Yeah. Who creatively is involved with that?
I don't know, but are you supposed to be named Rob to be in this movie? You've got Rob Lowe, Rob Corddry, Rob Riggle. Like, it's just odd to have the poster build with just Rob.
This movie is robbed for your pleasure.
Yeah.
Soundtrack by Rob Halford.
Yeah. Nice.
Kristen. Yeah.
They wanted to go every way.
That really gets the other end of that Latin
yeah.
loving demographic.
Yes, it does.
It's very big tent
it's
of
broad.
You know,
broad.
You know,
no,
that,
it's not broad.
It's not broad. That's true.
It's the opposite of broad.
So, you know, Rob Halford always would maintain that. It's like, if you listen to his music... It was pretty overtly gay.
He came on stage in
chaps and
leather assless
yes.
chaps and metal studs.
Oh yeah. yeah, he was like a gay Liberace.
Yeah,
and
wait.
I mean, I'm sorry.
Okay, I mean, Tom and I both were like, wait a minute.
It's like, Dana, I have to.
Sorry,
I have to ruin the magic yeah. for you.
He came on stage like a gay
what?
Hudson.
No. I'm sorry, but a metal Liberace.
Okay, that I'll accept.
So, you know, when Screaming for Vengeance came out on Rock Band, I was like, oh, sweet. I want to download some of Screaming for Vengeance. And I'm doing the vocals, hanging out. And
yeah,
I'm like singing
the
song.
You can do the vocals?
Yeah, singing the vocals. Doing the vocal part.
No,
we're impressed that you can sing that.
Those that's really hard to sing.
Yeah. Those are no joke.
Well, as you know, and like, so you're screaming for vengeance, as in, and then from that to like, you've got another thing coming. And as I'm singing it, I'm like, okay, I did not know the lyrics to this song well enough because this song's really gay.
Right.
And I'm not being like, I am not like, it's gay. I mean, I was like, wow, this is incredibly like, I did not know.
This is like Pete Townsend, Rough Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. Huh. Wow. You know, I didn't know that when he came out, it was like, yeah, he was right. It's like, it really wasn't a surprise.
It was just metal. It was just metal. And nobody, I don't think anybody,
a lot of people don't know this, but he co-wrote It's Raining Men.
No, he did not.
No, he did not. But wouldn't it have been great if he had? Yeah,
that would have been great.
You know who did write it?
No.
Paul Schaefer.
That's right.
Is that right?
That is true.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. What's he doing now?
He's living on all that It's Raining Men money.
Yes.
Oh, I think it's him and Doc Severinsen are doing a tour.
Oh, God. The same, yeah, just them.
It's been a while since we busted out an old-timey reference.
Yeah, it has been a while.
Yeah.
So anyway, How to Be a Latin Lover made $5.2 million in week two. It is up to $20 million domestic. That's directed by Ken Marino. I didn't realize that.
Who's that?
He's a comedy guy that looks kind of like Ray Romano, but not Ray Romano.
Oh, he's like a tough Ray Romano.
Yeah, I know. He's the
you would totally know him if you saw him.
Yes, yeah. I know exactly. He's the guy from Role Models.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but anyway, so $20 million, no budget, but it's a comedy. Oh. They probably got their friends to do it. So I don't know, probably a $15 million budget or something. So anyway, moving on to number five, Beauty and the Beast, still making a ton of money. $4.9 million, a 27% drop in week eight. $487 million domestic, $698 million overseas. So that's at $1.18 billion on a $160 million budget.
Disney's like, popcorn money.
That budget, if you think about that, I mean, look, Fast and the Furious made that in half the amount of weeks, right? So, I mean, yeah, it's going to make more money overall, but it had double the budget. $160 on a big Disney movie like that? That's impressive.
Disney is a studio that has, you know, 15 of these a year.
Oh,
where
right.
Universal
sure.
has like three.
Yeah.
Right. You know? They've got Despicable Me and the Fast and the Furious.
Jurassic
World. Yeah.
Yeah. That budget though, 160 really is impressive when you think of the magnitude of this film. And
that's
a lot of actors.
Like, that's the impressive part. Actors, CG, makeup.
It looks good. Bang. I mean, the amount of lots at Pinewood they rented for this thing. I mean, Beauty and the Beast. If you think that that's all CG, you're mistaken.
No.
Like,
yeah.
If you
those
go,
are sets
you go look at the behind the scenes and the lots, the sets that they rented. It's like, geez, they had. I mean, I knew the figures back when I wrote the review and I was doing the research. And I'm like, oh my gosh,
that's
space.
That's the kind of movie making that I dig. Like it adds such another level of imagination, I guess.
Yeah.
They also had a lot of cost in Beast Wranglers.
It's true. Yeah. They just had one.
Yeah.
But
have you watched
Very
Legion
Tired
on FX? Have you watched that?
I can't
believe
he's in that. I didn't.
Oh, it's good.
I didn't realize
it is
that.
Legion on FX. Mm. So it's Dan Stevens, who is the Beast,
right?
Plays the character Legion from the X-Men. Mm. It's, I don't want to say that because like it's super spoilery, but it's insanely good. It's by the same guy that did Fargo. The FX show Fargo.
The TV show,
not the movie.
But it's
the Coen brothers.
The Coen brothers are not making
superhero. We would have heard about that.
I feel like that would have been a thing.
All of a sudden, that Zod's in a wood chipper.
Damn it. He just breaks it. It wouldn't do anything. Breaks the wood
you're
chipper.
Having sex with the little fella.
Yeah. Such a good movie.
So I guess they said that they're courting Will Smith.
So Batmite? She was having sex with Batmite?
Yeah.
They're courting Will Smith for the Genie.
Well, yes,
that's who they're looking at.
That's the rumor du jour.
And then I don't know. Seth Rogen and the other guy
that's
from
announced.
Parks and Rec.
But here's the thing, like with the Genie, it's we don't know how they're going to make that the Aladdin movie. So, you know, he may be stylized, it may be CG. I think they're going to have to go
CG.
Probably motion capture of some sort.
Yeah, okay. So I mean, I think they're trying to tap into somebody who can have sort of a manic broad range.
Well, and they got it wrong.
I don't disagree with you. I agree.
I think it's a miss.
Kevin Hart is who should be doing this role.
If there's anybody that could capture what Robin Williams did, but do it differently,
right? But not and you would
not as like an homage.
You would you would avoid that apples to apples comparison.
Correct.
Yes.
And I just don't.
Now, granted, it's all rumor. It's not Will Smith not signed the dotted line.
But I think I. And I like Will Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't think you need somebody that can really just riff and go and take it to the next level. That's what made the first one so good.
I think Will Smith 15 years ago.
Yes. But
I was gonna say, he used to be that guy. That was.
And I don't know that he's that guy anymore.
I don't. After, you know, I think he tried to capture lightning in a bottle with Suicide Squad.
Well, he was the best part of that terrible movie, honestly.
I like Margot Robbie, but you're right.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, but no, I mean, she captured
that
character.
You know what he didn't
character.
Have to capture?
A boomerang.
The boomerang. Yeah. Because guess
nobody
what?
Nobody had a capture.
No. Nobody threw one.
One.
That movie didn't even open in Australia.
Yeah. They're like, screw this.
Yeah. Not even doing it.
They tried to make up for it by, it was, and they were going to release it as Yahoo Serious's Suicide Squad.
I read an awesome article about Yahoo Serious because it was like, it's been 20 years since Young Einstein. And it was like, what's he doing now? It was weird.
Yeah, he's a weird dude.
And
he is a weird dude.
His name wasn't Yahoo Serious.
And his son's name is Google Serious.
Yeah.
His daughter's Bing.
Yeah. They disowned that one.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't know.
They don't even talk about Jeeves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, just thank God he didn't name his daughter Hotbox.
Woo!
No.
Dodge that bullet.
No.
Maraca sound effect.
Coming in at number six, The Circle made $4 million.
What happened here?
No clue. It looked boring.
I thought it looked kind of interesting.
Yeah, I was
not into it at all.
But a Tom Hanks movie.
Tom Hanks with Emma Thompson?
Emma Watson.
Emma Watson, yeah.
Isn't even going to hit 30. You're showing your age.
But yeah.
Can't keep your Emma straight.
Yeah. So you've got Emma Watson coming off of Beauty and the Beast that we just talked about, made $1.2 billion in 8 weeks.
Yeah, well, Tom didn't make it because of her.
Yeah. Oh, no. That wasn't because of her.
I mean, she wasn't bad, but nobody was like, let's go see the new Emma Watson.
Right. Every time I saw the trailer for this movie, I thought it looked like a commercial. And I don't mean a commercial for a movie.
Right.
It looked like an actual commercial for a product.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And the name is way too ambiguous.
Yeah.
So I think there's some huge mismarketing.
But I would highly disagree that people didn't go to see Beauty and the Beast because of Hermione. I mean, that is a huge reason why they wanted to cast.
Yeah, got a lot of
huge.
I mean, I think it added a degree of credibility to the project. But at the end of the day, they went because it's Beauty and the Beast.
I know,
it's a live action.
I think that was they were very aware of that casting.
She brings in her own market.
They were aware of it, but it's not like anybody was like, there is only one person who can play this role, and it's Emma Thompson.
No, sure, but
they also, you know, knew that by casting or by bringing her in, they were able to do the tweaks to the story that the story needs,
right,
for today,
sure,
and for live action.
But I think
especially
there are certainly other actresses they could.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, she's not the only choice, but I think they sort of steered into what casting her was going to allow them to do.
Yeah, it certainly added some synergy to the project.
Yes,
But I don't think nobody
she
was like,
the only
nobody
choice.
Bought a ticket for this movie by saying two for the new Emma Watson movie.
No,
please.
Not at all. Not at all.
And I think this was bad. This is bad timing.
This is a weird time for this
movie.
I don't know what this movie's about. And every time I saw a trailer, I honestly thought I was, from what I saw, a commercial for some
what
sort
I
of
thought,
web thing.
It's like the circle is kind of like Apple. I guess. And like they
have a thing where they can record every moment of your life.
Right. They've taken
and people want to do it.
Yeah. It sounds like a Black Mirror episode, but they don't go that extra mile to go
see the movie
weird.
Just because I don't know what the hell it's about.
You know, what's interesting is I've never even heard of this movie. So I've never heard of this movie
before.
I guarantee
you probably have seen trailers and you thought they were commercials for some sort of way.
But I don't watch TV.
But he almost isn't. The way he shot, like in the trailer, I was like, oh,
he's kind of
hey,
barely
is that Tom Hanks?
No,
it doesn't really.
But I don't watch TV. But I mean, I usually I would see it on an ad on IMDb or something, a trailer or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, I work online. Like, I'm online all the time. Never heard of this movie.
The marketing is
you're a webcam girl.
Terrible.
Yeah, I am. That's how I make my money. This podcast doesn't pay crap. So the actors though: Emma Watson, Tom Hanks, John Boyega, Karen Gillan, Patton Oswalt.
That's a lot.
Bill Paxton.
That's got to be his last movie.
But
he's got one more, I think.
Oh, does he?
That's a lot of names. So
I want to see this just because I'm like, I really don't know what this is about.
Yeah, I thought the story looked interesting. In the trailers I saw, I was like, oh, that looks interesting.
Yeah.
But honestly, this should have been a September, October movie. Yeah. This should have been Tom Hanks does well there, right? He does, like, that's Sully.
Yeah.
That's Captain Phillips. They should have dropped this movie at the end of September.
Yeah.
And I think it would have done much better.
You know what, though? I think their strategy was, and I don't know why what's coming out then or why they didn't then.
Unless, yeah, something else coming out then, too.
But there was nothing that, remember, I mean, we didn't do an episode because it was slow. So there was literally, it was like, how to be a Latin lover, Slight, and something
well,
else.
Well, and it's funny that tells you all the marketing about this movie because we didn't even suggest it to each other.
Yeah.
We did talk about Slight, but it wasn't showing really anywhere all that close.
Yeah.
But we didn't even discuss new Tom Hanks MOA.
The only reason at AMC they show about 900 trailers, so that's the only reason I knew what this was, because that's all they show.
Yeah,
like we can only show so many trailers,
right? Number seven.
Oh, I've been waiting for this. Number seven. Okay, Kevin, have at it. What's number seven? Tell us.
Do you want to take this one?
No, I want to hear you say it.
Bahubali 2, The Conclusion.
Hey, that was actually pretty good.
Oh, well done. The Conclusion? Yeah, is there a Bahubali 1?
I guess that's why you could say it so well.
Yeah.
I forgot that you got to practice on part one.
Yeah, I love the first one. But that one brought in $3.2 million its second week in release. That's a 68.9% drop. We didn't have a box office report last week, so we didn't talk about some of these in week two here. But it is now at $16 million, and... I don't have a budget on it, but this is one that I know AMC is showing, because when I went to some shows at AMC, and I'm not sure if Marcus, the other big chain here, was showing it, but yeah. I think they had a big poster up at AMC. So this got a pretty wide distribution.
Who is in it?
Well, it's not an American movie.
Yeah, so. I know, but is it a martial arts movie?
I honestly don't know much.
It's really, he's like, I don't know, and I don't want to guess for, for fear of being racist.
Fair enough.
I think it's an Indian movie.
The poster is a guy with a giant sword. So
I believe by the title that it's an Indian movie, and so
the spelling looks like it would be an Indian movie.
The distributor is Great India Films, so that's a good giveaway.
That's a safe bet.
Yeah.
So this is a Bollywood film.
So an Indian company can only make Indian films. Is that what you're saying?
Jeez.
I'm putting the math together, the title, the Indian production company, you know. So anyway, that one was number seven.
Kevin's like, quick, move on.
Number seven with $16 million, so don't have a budget on it. Number eight, Gifted. So that's that Chris Evans movie that kind of opened lackluster a few weeks ago.
I can think is our next review from Fire Baby 25 would be like, hey, come for the misogyny, stay for the racism, stay for the anti-Indian humor.
So Gifted made another $2 million. That's a 38.9% drop. It is up to $19 million in week five. I still don't have a budget on that one, but I mean, that just kind of opened, like, there wasn't a huge buzz around it. I mean, Chris Evans obviously is a pretty big actor, but I didn't hear anyone talking about it.
Is he?
I think he's, yeah. I also think he's somebody who, like, his non-Marvel choices are really, it seemed like his choices. Like, he's just kind of like, whatever floats his boat.
I think he was like, he's like an upper tier B+ guy. Like, granted, he's Captain America. Like,
I just think Captain America cements his stardom,
people,
you know?
Yeah, but I mean, nobody's going to go see a Chris Evans movie because they're like, oh, it's got Chris Evans in it. Like, when he's Captain America, it's you know what I mean?
But would you agree that his career, like, he was on a career path that was like, okay, so he was Johnny Storm, and then he was also the young wacky guy in what? Smoking Aces?
He was in Scott Pilgrim. He was the bad guy.
He was playing
the teen parody movie.
He was playing a certain type of character. Movie. And then when he was Captain America, all of a sudden, his other choices outside of Captain America seemed to parallel, like, the more of a social responsibility.
I think he was making... So I think what happened, honestly, is Captain America afforded him a big paycheck. So he could go out and take different... If he doesn't... Yeah. So we'll say Krasinski gets Captain America. I don't think you're going to see Chris Evans in Gifted, because it's not going to bring in money.
But like Snowpiercer, like he's going and
he
seems to be taking different directions.
The Losers is what you're thinking of. The Losers was like Smoking Aces.
I'm like, he was in another movie. You know, he was on this like path of being this sort of like the wacky hothead.
He was on the path of being Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
He was a lesser Ryan Reynolds.
And then Captain America came out, and all of a sudden it was like totally different choices.
Yeah.
And partially because he was Captain America.
Yeah, he's got his paycheck. He can do these interesting roles now, and you know. So anyway, that one is at about $20 million in week six, and number nine, Going in Style. So that's our old man, not grumpy old man,
still creeping
Floating around.
Yeah, Zach Braff.
They don't race right out to the theater.
No. Dan's theory prevails.
It's true.
Once again,
I don't. Let's wait till the crowd dies down.
You mean dies?
Hey,
it's true.
You just
it's
got,
true.
You just got maraca'd.
You've been maraca'd, sir.
It's true.
You know. Dan, shake your own maraca.
Sorry.
Well,
you know, they're waiting for that summer special, the new summer menu at Ruby Tuesday.
So that one made another $1.9 million. It's a 47% drop. It's made $40 million on a $25 million, so it's making its money back slowly. Another $29 million overseas, surprisingly. So it's at 70 on a 25.
That's Michael Caine money.
Yeah. So I mean, it's
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
It's in profit. So
my bloody hat.
And rounding out the top 10, Smurfs: The Lost Village with $1.8 million, a 48% drop in week 5. It is at $40 million domestic on a $60 million, and of course $130 million overseas for a $171 million worldwide total on its $60 million budget. So it's almost tripled its budget. So it's not like they're hurting. I mean, it's probably not what they wanted, but that overseas money saved it anyway.
It's a weird property. I just don't.
I think it's also just a way to keep it alive.
Oh, that's probably true.
Yeah. You know,
keep the rights to it,
and to keep making toys, selling
toys.
True. You know?
Yeah. So that's a box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this episode. Let's go around the table, and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on my webcam website, and you can also follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett and at ReviewSTL.com.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, you can find us in an ever-increasing number of places. You can find us on Twitter at Real Spoilers, on Facebook at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. And if you would like to be more involved with the off-air conversation, you can find us at the League of Show Sharers on Facebook. Just type that into your little search bar on Facebook and join the group. And we're pretty quick about approving people. Between one time I got a notification, and I was in front of my computer. I got the notification, and I instantly clicked on it, and Kevin had already approved it. Yeah. I was like, it came up. I instantly clicked on it.
The thing is with the mobile app, so if I'm on my phone replying to a message and it pops up, you just click it and press accept. So gotcha. I accepted it instantly.
Yeah,
too.
It was on my desktop. I was like, oh, but it's gone. I'm like, what? Yeah.
They canceled it already.
Yeah.
No, never mind.
Yeah. Like, yeah. What was I thinking?
Facebook's always trying to tell me to turn on my notifications, and I'm like, no.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
No.
I sleep during the day, and like when I wake up, I've got like 90 notifications.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Yeah, well,
no.
It doesn't ding my phone, but like it shows up in Facebook, right. You know. So anyway, there are places that you can find us. We also have a website, realspoilers.com, or if you prefer to make your significant other wonder what exactly is going on in your search history, if you want to make them feel bad for snooping on you can check out our webpage also via dirtypiratehookers.com, and that'll teach them a lesson.
But that, just to clarify for our friend who pointed out, that could be male hookers or female.
Sure.
Dirty pirate.
There's
hookers,
not right. many female pirates, to be fair. Like, pirates usually generally are.
And Bonnie was pretty badass. But
but you know what I mean? I mean, if you think of pirates with the peg legs, it's usually men. So that.
Yeah,
we just want to point out that we're not saying
but we're
lady
also saying,
dirty pirate hookers.
Right. If you're thinking that means only lady pirate hookers, that says something about you.
That's true.
Not about us.
Yeah.
Because the important thing is, when you point the finger at somebody, there's three fingers pointing back at you.
Yeah. Oh. And thanks, Mike Brady.
Lord. Yeah.
I also wanted to add an addendum that I'm not saying women can't be pirates. So that was not.
Or hookers.
Yeah,
or,
I was.
I'm
gonna,
not.
I would like that.
Or dirty.
I would like to clarify all these things.
What has happened to our show where we have to, at the end, we're just like, look, we're not trying to offend anybody.
Well, I just don't want anybody to accuse us of slut shaming pirates or hookers.
Do you know how many pirate listeners we have? I mean, you're out there on the
seas. I would actually like to know because, you know.
It would bring new meaning to the term peg leg.
Yeah. That's true.
I hope that's true. Whoever writes the next review, and if they don't already have an iTunes account, I hope they make one with a pirate username. After all this.
Yeah.
And tell us how we help them.
One
on
Eye
the,
Willie.
Yeah. Well,
nobody questioned that at the time. And I did. Yeah. I sat there because I was an adult at the damn Goonies. Like, this movie's not very good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what happens when you see the Goonies when you're 40.
Oh, it's like I saw it when I was 10. I love
it. I was only 37. So, So anyway, that's it for this episode. So coming up on the next one, it's the one you've been waiting for, presumably, especially if you're Linnea Thunsell. It's her anniversary with us, you know.
Oh. Is that right?
Yeah, she said the first episode she's ever listened to was Guardians of the Galaxy 1. So there we go. So thank you. And now that I can finally say your name, I like to say your name because I can say it right now. So like that's a nice little.
It's a good accomplishment.
It's a nice little perk. Yeah.
That was really presumptuous of them to call it Guardians of the Galaxy 1.
They knew.
You know, because most movies don't put the one in their title, but it was an obscure property, which no one knew. I mean, that was the one of the first ones that Joe said that's going to be their first failure.
Yep.
But it's volume one.
It's
meaning,
not volume one.
Yeah. It's not volume one.
What?
It's not volume one. It's just Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, it wasn't marketed that way.
Oh, it wasn't marketed at the beginning.
No.
Okay,
now it will be. Most definitely
now, Rima Williams, though.
Yeah.
Rima Williams, The Adventure Begins.
Is that right?
History of the World. Yeah. Part one.
Still
want to see Jews in space.
I always thought if I was ever in a band, if I could sing or play an instrument, those two things have always kind of held me back. I always thought you should call your first album Greatest Hits.
That's a good one. Yes. I like that.
It's true.
Yeah.
So far. Those are your biggest hits?
Yeah. Greatest hits. And your second album, Greatest Hits Volume 2.
Yeah. Then that'd be a best of.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good. All right.
Yeah. In other words, those were our hits, but they suck.
Yeah.
We don't like
this.
The hits.
This is the good stuff.
We're too good. This is our best.
Yeah. Third one is rest of.
Yeah. And then the fourth one, box set.
Oh. Somebody's going to steal that. You watch.
So anyway, I will now stop talking. Coming up on the next episode, we will tackle Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. And until then, you've been warned.
Getting down and dirty with a Procyon loader. Got no people skills, but he's good with motors. That weird thing by his side, an infantilized sequoia. The two of them walk by, people say, oh boy. They ask me why I'm bringing a baby into battle. That's really irresponsible and getting them rattled. I said, give me a break. Get off of my back, dammit. I didn't learn parenting. My daddy was a planet.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.